We welcome you in the center and the point as you join us today in this journey. We've started these 8 weeks together when we're going to just focus on this, the seven requests that Jesus told us to offer to God the Father as a pattern, and sometimes maybe as the actual words that we would pray together to the Lord. We call it the Lord's Prayer. So we're just kind of looking at that, thinking there's nothing we could do that's more important than talk together. Wherever we're going to be the rest of our lives, we're always going to be in sync together through prayer, wherever we are. It's what unites us, and so that's why we're focusing on that together. And today, this is those three words, your kingdom come. And I think you might tend to think, well, everybody knows the Lord's Prayer, or understands the Lord's Prayer. My experience is that's not the case. Even if you know the Lord's Prayer, the likelihood would be, your kingdom come, you probably could not explain it. I know you can't do it in 30 seconds. But if you had 30 minutes, you might have a difficult time explaining that, because this is a concept that's beyond what you and I can see and envision. But the deal is, we do tend to think we know this prayer so well. Just for a minute, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Chicago Cubs fans, where are you? Yeah, you're welcome. Enjoy it. It's going to be another 100 years, man, so just get all you can get out of this thing, all right? Where's Greg? No, sorry, everybody. All right. But Chicago, Bears fan, are there Bears fans? Yeah. Some, okay. When did they, you got it on today, look at him, wearing the colors, come on, man. When did they win the Super Bowl last? It was 86, actually. It was 85 season, 86, in January. It was the year that I came here, so it was kind of easy for me to remember, but 31 years since they won the Super Bowl. And on that team is a guy named John Cassis, who was kind of the inspirational leader of the team. Not known as well, but he was the inspirational leader. He's a public speaker, and you know, that a writer. And he tells this wonderful story when Ditka, you know, would give a little inspirational talk before the game. And he looked over at Refrigerator Perry. You guys remember Refrigerator Perry? Okay. And, you know, so he looked over at him and he just, hey, listen, Fridge, he said, after I do my little inspirational talk, you lead us in the Lord's Prayer. I'll take all your hats and helmets and Lord's Prayer before we go out. And so he went on with a little devotion. And well, John Cassis is over there, and he feels a tap on the shoulder from Jim McMahon. Now, Jim McMahon was a punk, all right? He was just an outspoken, brash dude, wasn't he, you know? So he couldn't resist, so he taps Cassis on the shoulder. He goes, look at Perry, man. He does not know the Lord's Prayer. Look at him. He's sweating bullets. He doesn't know it. Cassis said, everybody knows the Lord's Prayer. Are you kidding me? Everybody knows the Lord's Prayer. He said, I'll bet you $50 he doesn't know. They're betting on the Lord's Prayer. I'll bet you $50. He doesn't know the Lord's Prayer. All right. So, coach finishes. All right, Fridge, lead us, would you? He said, all right. It was quiet. And, now I lay me down to sleep. I prayed the Lord my soul to keep. And Cassis felt a tap on his shoulders. Jim McMahon, there's $50. He said, here you go. I had no idea that he knew the Lord's Prayer. So whether you think you know it or you don't think you know it, my guess is most of us don't know what your kingdom come means. Because it's spiritual truth that's really hard to describe. Thankfully, the scriptural writers, and especially the prophets, talked a lot about the kingdom of heaven. Of course, Jesus used that phrase a lot as well when he was here on the earth. And so scripture gives us images. I mean, how else can you picture truth in images? You know, images are helpful. Images make a difference. I believe that President Trump is our president for the moment because he said consistently this phrase that cast an image. It was an image of progress, and it captivated those words, make America great again. And those words, that image of progress, inspired people. Jesus gave images, the writers gave images, these compelling pictures that are not exactly the kingdom, but on this side of heaven, they're the best we've got. And so they give us these pictures to describe this spiritual truth. That's like the parables, you know. The parables, they would give stories, earthly stories of heavenly meaning. The stories aren't exactly like it'd be in heaven, but they're images and pictures. And so that's kind of what I think we're going to look at today, some of the images that the prophets gave to us, and as Jesus talked about it. And so what is your kingdom? It's an important thing. As I mentioned, there are only seven petitions in this little prayer, and this is one of them. So apparently we're supposed to be praying this in some form regularly, so it might be helpful to know what we're praying when we say just those three words. And again, my experience is that most folks don't really have an understanding of what that means, but the writers of Scripture talked about it so much that I think we can, you know, gain some insight in a brief enough time here today to understand this a little bit. But spirituality is hard to describe, and so those who teach preachers today and prophets of old are always looking for images to help us kind of picture truth, and so we have lots of that here, and so we're going to look on some of those images today. Would you please take out your section of your programs? If you're a guest here, there's a sermon notes page that we put there to kind of jot down some thoughts. You can reflect and talk about it later with your family or friends. If you are a guest, as I mentioned, we're really so glad to have you here, and we hope you feel home, just like when you walk in, that you feel like a guest, and you go, no way, I'm here, I'm home, and we hope you feel that way. We have folks at a Connection Corner who would love to meet you and answer questions you might have about the building, ministries here. And so see the folks there in the green shirts or the blue shirts out there, and they can help you with that. And among other things, if you don't have a Bible, we just so want you to have one. We want to give you one if you don't have one. And we want to give you a gift as well, if you would like to stop by. We hope that you'll do that. But we do put scriptures on the screen if you didn't bring your Bible, so we can kind of all be looking at the scripture together. So let's talk about this. What would it really be like? I'm just going to ask three simple questions. Since there's just three words we're talking about, let's just ask three pretty simple questions. Here's the first one. So what would it look like if His will were done on earth as it is in heaven? Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What would that look like if and when that were to take place? John the writer was given images of the afterlife, the eternal life in heaven with the Lord. In the book of Revelation, he pulls back the curtain. We see these images that compel us and inspire us in the future. So John wrote in Revelation chapter 7, verse 16 this way. He said, they will never again in that kingdom, in the life beyond this life, the kingdom of heaven, when we are there with Him, they will never again be hungry or thirsty. So these images kind of give us some pictures, if you will, where we are in this life. For instance, the kingdom of heaven means it changes the realms of our experiences here, like the realm of economics, you know, and human need. We're surrounded with economic issues that drives our lives, my goodness gracious, and the human needs are around us, but the kingdom of heaven will change all of that. Imagine the elimination of hunger. Imagine never again seeing a baby with a swollen belly. Imagine never again seeing a mother scrounge to get some food to get her children through one more day. Imagine that day. It's going to happen. But by the way, the kingdom of heaven doesn't just mean the end of poverty as we would see it in this life, but the farmer, he was a prophet, but he's also a farmer, so he spoke out of his experience, and he wrote this from the Spirit of God. He prophesied in Amos chapter 9, verse 13, the time will come, says the Lord, when the grain and the grapes will grow faster than they can be harvested. Then the terraced vineyards on the hills of Israel will drip with sweet wine. And so as he talked to them, oh my goodness, they knew how dry the climate was. It was not a fertile field. It was very difficult to grow things there. They needed so much rain. It was a real challenge for them. So he describes a plentiful harvest. Wow, this was very foreign. They knew right away, boy, what a game changer for sure. And so this imagery resonated with them big, big time. In other words, the planet would be redeemed from the curse, the problems we have with weeds and all those other things. They're gone now, he describes it that way. And so much so you can't even keep up with the harvesting, let alone the produce that God would send our way. The sweet wine would drip from the hills. Now, that does not mean Chardonnay is dripping from the Rockies. That's not what it means. Nice idea for a commercial, but that's not really what it means at all. It's just that we will want for nothing, for thirst or hunger. All things will really be new in that regard. And the kind of needs of this life, for us, we would just redefine this saying things like economy. Never again would the market go any place other than up. Never again would anybody be unemployed. Interest rate would never go up again. Everybody would love their job, whatever it is. I mean, that would be the kingdom of heaven. Economically, however you would just see that, all things are going to be just very different. As broken as they are today, there will be no brokenness in those areas again when the kingdom of God really comes. And this is the realm of politics as well. We're going to talk politics. Now, people say don't talk politics. Why? Because politics, basically, it's a history of conflict. You understand that, right? It really is It's just, that's why they say don't talk politics, because it will lead to conflict. We know that that's just what it means immediately. And the prophets were given this word from the Lord as well. They honed in on this. Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4, here's what's going to happen. Did you know this? The Lord will actually mediate between the nations. He's going to settle all the international disputes. They'll hammer their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will no longer fight against the nation, nor train for war anymore. Can you imagine? Your whole life, you've never known anything like this, but no more war. No more fighting. No more enemies. He gave us another image. Chapter 11, Isaiah said this in verse 6, in that day. What a picture. The wolf, the lamb will live together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat. The calf and the yearling will be safe with the lion, and a little child will lead them all. The cow will graze right near the bear. The cub and the calf will lie down together. The lion will eat hay like a cow. The baby will play safely near the hole of a cobra. Picture going, what? So he goes, yes, I said, a little child will put its hand in a nest of deadly snakes without harm. The Israelis and the Arabs will get along. I mean, they'll be united. The Democrats and Republicans, united. Hoosier fans and Boilermakers, same team. Some of you saying, that's not heaven to me, dog. Come on now, right? It's all, whatever you see as the foes going on today, that's not going to be that way. It's just going to go away. There'll be no more of that. All everybody on the same team. If you're on God's team, you're all in. So, boy, what a difference maker that's going to be. Boy, don't you love the images of the animals there, by the way? Just for a minute. I mean, that the wolf is going to lay down with the lamb, okay? The dog is going to make peace with the rabbit. And the cat will exist no more. I'm just teasing. Cat people don't. Cat people are going like, I can't remember. I mean, lay low, all right? So I just, okay. Revelation 21, verse 21. The 12 gates were made of pearls, each gate from a single pearl. The main street was pure gold, as clear as glass. My mom and I had this conversation a lot over the years, so this is certainly redefines the realm of beauty as we know it. And she would contend, they're not streets of gold in heaven. It's not pearly gates. Your mom, it says that. She said, no. It says, heaven is more than we can ask or imagine. It's the best image we can get here. It'll be better than that. Now, she now sees it, so she now really would have the answer. But she's probably right. These are the best images we can come up with from this side of heaven. But one day, it'll be a whole different definition of beauty. But at a minimum, pollution, no more. No rundown inner city buildings, no more. No more concrete ghettos. It just won't exist. Teenage girls could look at a magazine cover, look in the mirror and go, I look great. Because everybody will, in God's kingdom, will appreciate the beauty in everybody else. We're all made in the image of God. No more of this one and that one. No more contest of beauty. Everybody's beautiful now. You're in the image of God. If God's will were done on the earth as it does heaven. Would you think of that for just a minute? The differences of beauty, of definition, of race. I mean, all those things that would separate us externally, gone. That's his kingdom coming. That's the kind of game changer it brings to us. And even with the realm of emotions, things will change. I think this is certainly the age of anxiety. I think for Christian people, it's probably the number one struggle for Christian people. Why the Bible talks so much about don't worry about anything, pray about everything. And you go, you kidding me, Lord? Have you watched the news? There's a lot to worry about. There really is. So many things are wrong. So many things are broken. And so he gives us this picture again in Revelation 21:25. There's no more fear, not in the kingdom. No, it says its gates will never be closed at the end of the day because there's no night there. What's that mean? Of course, they had no electricity as they would in that day. So night meant crime. I mean, that's when things would go wrong. And we have a similar kind of thing today. More crime happens at night probably than during the day. So that's the image there. No more security problems. No more security systems. No more gated communities. Can you imagine? You will never lose your keys again. Somebody wrote me a note after last night's service, said, I had to laugh the whole rest of the service because I spent 3 hours looking for my keys yesterday. That will be glory, won't it? No more, because there'll be no locked doors. The whole concept of just the things we do because of fear, all done away with. All that changes completely. And police officers will still though have a job. Now, we know in this church, because we love our police officers, they're part of our church family here, you know, and we just kind of see our police officers that way. But they'll still have a job in the kingdom. So everybody else may not, but they still will, and they'll still pull you over. And you know why? You're going to go, God's will is on you. What's why? And they're going to say, just to applaud you for how courteous you are to the other drivers. I just pulled you over to tell you, your courtesy is just amazing. Now, police cars will still pull in donut shops. I think that'll probably happen because donuts will be protein. In fact, the Kaleo diet will then recommend donuts morning, noon, and night. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on now. Well, that's probably not in the Bible. I know that. But anyway, that's kind of how we roll here. But it's going to be different. It's going to be different. Emotionally, the things that kind of frighten us here, we panic about, that are so big here, they're not going to be issues anymore. And the realm of the family, isn't that what touches your heart? Family makes you feel warm, and family makes you feel broken. Revelation 21:3 says, no more though. That's never going to happen again. No, I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among us and his people. There's only one Father in the home now. And it's God. And he will live with them. And they will be his people. And God himself will be with them. No more separations of any kind. No more divorce. No more affairs. No more abuse. No neglect. No unloved, unwanted child ever again. And then there's this realm of spirituality. Kind of we started there. Revelation 21:4 gives us this beautiful image, doesn't it? Of the kingdom. He will wipe away every single tear from their eyes. No more death, nor sorrow, crying, or pain. All things are gone forever. Anybody want a world like that? You ever yearn for something like that? No more Kleenex. No more funeral homes. Every day, you'll be at home with God. Ezekiel wrote about this too. He prophesied, chapter 11, verse 19. He said, I will give them the Lord, he's quoting the Lord, I will give them singleness of heart. See, no more divisiveness, man. Singleness of heart. Because there will be a new spirit within them. And I'll take away that stony, stubborn heart. It causes all of our problems. I'm going to give them all a tender, responsive heart. Is that attractive to you? When you pray your kingdom come? That means you will never, ever say something that you will regret later that day, ever. You will never again feel ashamed, ever. You'll never feel guilty, ever again. And every tongue and every tribe and every nation will gather at the throne, and we will see, as we sang today, we will actually see the living God. Would you think about that? If you ever had doubts about God, sure you have. Not then. You've had some deep questions about God, no more questions. You will see him as he is, and says we'll even be like him. And you'll look into the face of God. And by the way, your every prayer now will simply be a conversation with God. Some of you have people who are in heaven. They converse with the Lord. We call it prayer. Now, it's just it's face to face. Can you imagine? It's face to face. And then he will wipe away all your tears, and then he's going to take the tear ducts away from you. No more. Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 55, you're going to live in joy and peace. The mountains and hills are going to burst into song, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. Oh, man, this is what it's going to look like if God's kingdom came to earth. So make sure we all understand. Here's your answer. The kingdom of God, here it is. It's an image of God's perfect will. It's an image of God's perfect will. Now, if you're like me and you look at the world, you're going, I don't think this is going to happen. We're too far gone. I just can't imagine this is going to happen. But it's the message Jesus delivered from the beginning of the kingdom of heaven. He said, is at hand. It is here. It is now happening. And it's going to be happening. And so Mark summarized the gospel. And you know what how he summarized the whole thing? By quoting Isaiah the prophet hundreds of years later. He said, the prophecy is still true. Let me give it to you again because Jesus told me. Mark writes this. You will live in joy and peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song. The trees of the field will clap their hands. Isaiah 55 is still true hundreds of years later. God said it then and he said it again. It will be true. All things new passed away. And so that does lead to our second of three questions. So is the kingdom of God available now? That becomes the question. See, this looking forward to this, you guys, oh, I'm down with that. But your kingdom come, can that be available now? When Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is at hand, what did that really mean? How does that work? Well, Jesus was making it clear that yes, now human beings can live in the presence and the power of God 24/7 because he came. That's the kingdom of heaven. That's why we don't pray here. As we come into your presence, we're in his presence all the time. We're trying to learn, aren't we, to practice the presence of God? You're in the presence of God all of the time. You're never not in the presence of God and the power of God. And you become aware of that, the kingdom of God has come right into your world. And it's at hand. It is here. It's with you all of the time. His presence, the kingdom has come. And Jesus cast this compelling vision, so compelling that people would walk away from their entire career to follow him to do this. People would be willing to give every dime they had for this vision. In fact, they'd be willing to die for this compelling vision, and they would be singing songs of joy and praise as they died. That happened this week around the world somewhere. Do you know that? There's not a week that doesn't go by. There's somebody in the world who's dying for proclaiming the name of Christ, and they're singing praises to God as they are dying. Who does that? Only if you're in the kingdom of God. Because Hebrews 12 tells us, doesn't it? Jesus, he endured the cross and scorned the shame for the joy set in front of him. Even as he went to the cross. Oh, it was a painful process, but it was for the joy, the presence of God, the vision of God, God's desire, God's will. And we can do the same thing. People do the same thing, and you can do this. I can do this. In the face of what the world can throw our way, we can still be devoted to him, be all into him. Because we're amazed at the fortune that God would say, the kingdom of God is at hand, and the kingdom of God is available to you, ordinary human beings. And one day, by the way, there won't be any other kingdoms. There'll be no more Caesars. There'll be no more presidents of nations who pretend that they have power. No more economic powers. It just won't happen anymore. There'll only be one kingdom and only one king of all the nations. And so that leads to our third and final question. So how will this happen? How does the kingdom of God happen even now? And it's not a simple question, because for thousands of years, human beings have been trying desperately to find this out, come up with ideas of how to do this. In other words, revolutions come and revolutions go. And guess what? They all have the desire, we're going to fix the world. That's what revolutions are. Governments come and governments go. We're going to fix this. Every political season, we're going to fix it. It's not happening. The kingdom of God will never arrive on Air Force One, ever. It's not going to happen that way. There's only one king of the nations, and God alone can fulfill that hunger for our heart. So, okay, what does it mean when that comes to earth? Let me give you four things to think about in your time with the Lord today. The kingdom of God starts with prayer. That's our focus for these 8 weeks. You understand? It begins when we say, God, your kingdom come. If we don't say it, it's not coming. So he said, say it. Request it. Please, God, your kingdom come. Now, there are seven requests I mentioned here. There are a few of them that are you request, and the others are us request. The you request, hallowed be your name. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. The other four requests are about us, our part in this thing. So, Lord, would you give us our daily bread? Would you forgive us of our debts and our sins? Lord, would you help us with this thing called temptation? Would you deliver us from evil? And so to make sure we've got it here, here's kind of the second part of our definition. The kingdom of God is where God's name is revered and where God's will is followed. That's why the kingdom of God has come today. When you revere God, as we talked about last week, hallowed be his name. When we revere who he is, When we're mindful of who God is, wherever we are, the kingdom of God has come. And when we are trying to align ourselves up with what God wants in our lives, that's the kingdom of God. But it starts with prayer, this very simple prayer. And you wonder, your kingdom come, how powerful is that prayer? It's more powerful than all the efforts of human leaders throughout history could have ever uttered. That has more impact 5 billion years from now than all of the ideas of every person who's tried to take control and be powerful in this life. No, your kingdom come, God, you alone. And that is a power that changes everything. And so that's why we're asking all of us, would you pray this prayer every morning and every night in these 8 weeks? Just make this a cry of your heart. And maybe some days it's just these three words, your kingdom come. But you pray with knowing what you're praying about. Please, God, your kingdom come. Because God's kingdom comes when people pray. That's the deal. You're wanting his kingdom? Great. It's not going to happen. Lord, we want your kingdom to come. Jesus said, you pray that. And number two, the kingdom of God can come then into my life and your life. Now I said something. You say, God, your will be done in this little part of creation. How different would things be if you would say every morning, God, your will be done in this life? It's the hardest prayer you ever pray. It's the most difficult prayer Jesus ever prayed. Remember when he was in the garden before he went to the cross and he sweat tears of blood? Remember that? And he said, Lord, if there any other way, can we do this any other way than the cross and the flesh? Man, this is brutal. Is there any other way? But Lord, not my will, but your kingdom come. Your will be done. Lord, whatever it takes. And that's what we pray. God, here's what I think. This seems like the right thing, God. This ever happened to you? Happened to me this week. I just knew this is God working. And all of a sudden something happened. I went, gee, I was wrong. I thought I knew God's will, but okay, God, stop and go, no, Lord, your kingdom come. I really want what you want in this situation, God. You know what I want, you know what I think. I've been preaching a while, Lord, so you know. I know. Not my will, but your will be done. So here comes the question. What would it mean for you to say, God, your will be done in my life? What does that mean? Your kingdom come in my life. What would that look like for you, where you work, where you live, where you go to school, your relationships, your finances, your schedule? I have no idea. But there, it could be some folks in the center and the point who are in a relationship right now, and you know. If you dare to say, God, your kingdom come in my life, you stop and you go, God, this relationship is not in your will, and I know it, and it has to stop, and I haven't stopped it. So, God, if I'm going to pray your will be done, it has to stop. What does it mean in my financial world? Lord, your will be done, God, but am I really trusting you with all of that? Lord, your will be done at work. I know I think I've tried to figure this thing out. God, what do you want to happen there? Help me to look for that. What does that mean? Lee Powell mentioned 2 weeks ago that it's very common for churches when a long-tenured pastor leaves that a church's attendance and offerings go down 20%. I think that we need to be praying, you know, every day and every night. Not on my watch, God. That's not happening. Not here. It's not happening. Because God, your will be done in my life. My attendance, my faithfulness, my prayer, my giving, my serving. The church needs it more this year than it's ever needed it before right now, God. So, Lord, your will be done. And when we pray that way, I don't know what's coming toward this church. I just know it's unstoppable. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it when we say, Lord, your will be done, and I'm all in, whatever that means. We are that unstoppable force when we really do pray His will in our lives and His church. And it really does make all the difference. And you can pray, the kingdom of God can come to the people in my world. Some of you today, right now, if you take the time to say, God, your will be done, and you're thinking of a son who's far from God, or a daughter, or a mom or a dad, or a good friend, or a husband or a wife, you're thinking of somebody in your world. And if you could just do one thing right now, God, your kingdom, if it would just come to them. And you may have done this for years, and you go, I've done it for years. It hasn't worked. I've given up on this prayer. With permission, Doug and Debbie Gifford have allowed me to just talk about them for just a second. Doug Gifford, look at me. Debbie Gifford, look at me. I know you don't want to. That's the blessing of being around 30 years. You know, to watch a wife pray for 30 years, God, your kingdom come to my husband that I love. A fire comes, a cancer comes, life comes, pain comes. What if she would have stopped praying? What if she wasn't going to that group with so many women who came without their husbands and they just stayed in front of God. Stayed in front of God. What if after 29 years, okay, God, I throw my hand. That's it. Forget it. 2008 was a bad year in this country, wasn't it? No. 2008, Doug Gifford said, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And now I watch them every week worshiping God, and it's worth it all. If nobody else is here, it's worth it. It's worth it all. Because one little, what do you weigh, 110 pounds dripping wet, Debbie Gifford? Good night. Does prayer make a difference? God, your kingdom come. You just pour it out. He will hear you, and you may see it in this life. You may not see it till heaven, but you'll know you're giving it to Him, and you're going to keep giving it to Him. God, here it is. What's my role in this? And then you got to pray for the nation. Come to my nation, Lord. Come to all the nations. How many of you watch the news? How many of you really get mad when you watch the news? How many of you flip it off and say, that's it, no more? We do that about once a week. What happens to your emotions when you watch the news? Sometimes the first 15 minutes, it's abuse, murder, whatever you see. So you got two ways to react. Can I help you with just a suggestion? Every time you hear something in the news and you read it and it makes you just cringe, you stop and say, God, your kingdom come so there's no more abuse. God, I'm sick of this. Your kingdom come. No more children. No, no, no more. No more. And we start to pray that like we mean it. That's what you do with your emotions when you're mad. You take it to God. And you pray for this country, you pray for all nations. God is the king of all the nations. In fact, can I give you one little assignment to think about as a family? Get a map and put it somewhere in your house and get 365 little things you can stick into that map. And why don't you start and today or tomorrow, put it where you live. Lord, all day long, your kingdom come. To this neighborhood. Your kingdom come to Brownsburg. Your kingdom come to, 86th Street. Your kingdom come to Plainfield. You guys are from an hour away in a radius, wherever that is, that whole region. God, you're bringing your kingdom come. Pray for it a different place every day. Then get you a real big one and put that one on Washington, D.C., right there. Lord, your kingdom come to our capital. Your kingdom come. And you get a big old map and you're going to see some kids today heading to Guatemala. You put a map there. Say, God, your kingdom come to Guatemala. Your kingdom come to Asia and Africa and India and all the children of the world, because He loves all the children of the world. How fun would it be a year from now to walk up to the map and see 365 spots where you prayed 365 days for that spot, your kingdom come. And then you can start over or you can add 365 more. does that sound like some fun? I mean, that's a practical way. It's putting hands to your feet of saying, your kingdom come, but there it is in front of you. And as a family, you're praying, your kingdom come, and you can see where you pray it. And then something happens, and you go, God, you heard my prayer. You hear somebody coming to Christ there, and you go, man, did that prayer matter? Whew. So I just would ask in these moments, would you pray to God, your kingdom come to my life? Your kingdom come to my world is that person that's on your heart. Your kingdom come to this nation, because God so loves the world that he gave his only son, that whoever, wherever, whenever believes in Jesus will not perish, but will have eternal life. And the kingdom of God will come to them. Let's pray. We invite you to participate with us in communion. If you are a believer in Christ, you don't have to be a member of this church, just someone who's called on the name of Christ for your salvation. You've trusted in his sacrifice for the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus said, every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we're proclaiming the kingdom of God until he comes. This is practicing that time when you will see him face to face. And so you hold those emblems and you pray this simple prayer, how God leads you to pray it, and you just be all in, do it every day. God, we want to begin where we started. Your kingdom, we want your kingdom to come. And now, God, we'll fill in the blanks. In our life, where does that need to happen? And today, where does that need to happen? And what's our role in that? Those in our lives and all the people of the world, oh God, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And may it start as we pray today. We pray in Jesus' name.